One of the major good things that's come out of it is how we've embraced new technology, isn't it? Because it's just unbelievable. Who knew what Zoom was 2 years ago? None of us. Like last week, I had to do a speed awareness course online. Now, you should be doing that on something called Zoom, but that's the world we're in now. It's the world we're in. I've got a phone that can recognise my face. That already makes it better than my nan. Come on! I embrace new technology. I do, because could you imagine if this pandemic had happened like 30 years ago? No internet, no Zoom, no Pornhub. I don't know why I looked at you, sir, but I did. Because I think we've forgotten, here in 2021, we've forgotten what really being bored feels like. Like proper bored. My friend's little boy said the other day he gets bored waiting for an app to load. Fuck off, mate. That is not boredom, is it? I'm talking Sunday afternoon in the 80s. That was boredom. When it was raining, you'd read every book in the house. I grew up in Maidstone. That's a Mills and Boone and an Argos catalogue. Your mum's watching something black and white on the only telly in the house, so you listen to your Walkman for a bit, but the batteries are dying, so Madonna's Like a Virgin sounds like Barry White singing it. You can't go and buy more batteries, can you? You can't, because all the shops are shut. And I mean, all the shops are shut. Even the petrol stations are shut. And then when you think your day can't get any more tedious, your dad would go, get in the car, everyone. We're going to go and visit someone. That's what we do, isn't it? On a Sunday afternoon in the 80s, we would visit people for no reason other than to ruin their day. Do you know what? Young people don't believe this when you tell them. We never told them we were coming. Could you imagine doing that to someone today? They'd be livid, wouldn't they? We used to spend every Sunday with people wishing that they'd hoovered and we'd fuck off, didn't we? And right on, like, the only people who phoned ahead in the 1980s were the IRA. Fact. I wouldn't be a teenager now, though, would you? I wouldn't be a teenager now. When I think of the things I did when I was a teenager, the thought of that being on the internet forever makes me feel physically sick. It does. The way they have to communicate with each other is something I just can't understand. You know, sexting. I couldn't write a sext. I don't know what to put in a birthday card. When I was a teenager, if I wanted to leave a sexy message for a boy, I'd have to ring his landline and leave a message with his mum. All to what, dear? All over your what? Different times, isn't it? Different times. If there was a boy I fancied at school, I couldn't text him to write him a note, stick it in his school bag. And I'd make him a mixtape. Write him a poem. That's all we had, didn't we? I genuinely think a 14-year-old girl today, she would be more freaked out if you sent her a poem than if you sent her a picture of your knob. A poem would freak her out more. She'd be with her friends going, I mean, it was like a song, but it wasn't a song. And there was no cock in it. Not even a bollock, no. Different times, you know. Different. Apparently, young people today, they are most likely now to have their very first sexual experience online. By FaceTime or Skype. They're not even in the same room. You've got one teenager in this house on their phone and the other teenager in this house on their phone, and that's how they're having their first sexual experience. And I just think, do you know what? Getting fingered behind a caravan at a fairground is not ideal. But at least I was getting some fresh air.
People in the room, right, you know what I mean. You have only ever known a time in your life when you're trying not to get pregnant or trying not to get somebody else pregnant. And I don't want to blow my own trumpet, but on both accounts, I fucking smashed it. I think it comes down to skill set at the end of the day, doesn't it? People are just good at different things. Some people are good at the violin, some people are good at parallel parking. I was very good at taking the pill. Every day, every day, every day. Honestly, I used to think I was so good at taking the pill, I deserved a reward. Arguably, there was a reward. It was the reward of not having to watch Peppa Pig or cleaning up another human's shit. Tell you what I don't understand, right, is women who are on the pill and forget to take it. Don't get that. Because don't get me wrong, I forget things. I forget my keys, my wallet, the fact I'm married. Sure! But forgetting to take something that can prevent you from creating a human that could one day say, turn the machines off, is what she would have wanted. going to remember that one, thank you. Obviously, it does happen, though. Women forget to take the pill, they get knocked up. Happened to a girl I used to work with, actually, when I used to work in an office, right? And we were chatting about it one day. She was so blasé. We're in the kitchen. She's just standing there rubbing her belly like, well, the thing is, I've just got really bad memory. I was thinking, that's funny, because every day without fail, you remember to steal my milk. Maybe if you'd strapped your packet of microgynon to my semi-skimmed. Stephen in accounts wouldn't be telling everyone how you trapped him. But I think the reason I was always very good at remembering to take the pill, because I've been on it for so long, I was on it since I was about 16, and the reason I started taking it was because I was going out with my first boyfriend, Kevin Sutherland, a boom chicka wow wow. He was quite the catch. He had a Peugeot 106 and a tattoo of Bart Simpson, which I thought showed a great joie de vivre. And things were going very well between Kevin and I. We had matching bracelets from Argos, so you can tell how serious we were. And we'd agreed that we were going to do it for the first time, right? So I was like, right, I put myself on the pill because my first time is going to be really special. My first time is going to be just like in the movies. So the big day arrived, and Kevin, bless him, he made such an effort for everything to be really perfect. Like, he paid his little brother to leave the room. To this day, the most romantic thing a man has ever done for me. And he made a mix CD of all of our favourite romantic songs. You know, like Boom Boom Boom, Let Me Hear You Say Wayo. And as we lay down on his single bed, with his Liverpool FC duvet cover on it, the scent of Lynx Africa heavy in the air. And as Kevin took my virginity so beautifully and gently and quickly from behind, I remember thinking, wow, just like in the movies. Obviously, it's quite difficult to make eye contact in that position, isn't it? Almost felt like I lost my virginity to Steven Gerrard. I'll never walk alone. I never will.
People ask me all the time, how did you end up becoming a comedian? And I always say, why do you say end up? Like I made a mistake. It's kind of a polite conversation you have with a tramp. So, fella, how'd you end up in a skip? That's the most fantastic job in the world, right? You make people laugh, you, fella, with all that stress on your face. Look at you, sitting in the front row trying to get the jokes before anyone else. How desperate are you for comedy, my friend? Suppose you people bricks put... Oh, I'm sorry, what? I wasn't expecting a response. Do you work?
I'm a student.
A student, all right. No more questions, Your Honor. It's very easy, no heavy lifting. Yeah. Why don't you think about being a comedian? What are you studying?
History.
History. That goes back a long time, doesn't it? Why don't you try American history? A couple hundred years. Boom, you're done. Listen, here's the thing, all right? You just say intelligent things stupidly. That's all there is to being a comedian. Or maybe it's stupid things intelligently. It's not rocket surgery. I'll tell you that right now. That's what I get asked all the time. So I bet you were the class clown. Were you the class clown? Screw you. Why would you suggest I took a childhood disorder and turned it into a career, you prick? No one ever says to a hooker, were you the class whore? I bet you were the class whore, weren't you? Let the mystery be. I love watching Brits snap. That is the greatest thing in the world. When a Brit snaps, you don't even know they've snapped. It's not like Americans who take out 8 or 9 people with a high-powered rifle because they're social animals. Brits snap and you go, 2 hours later thinking, I think that guy snapped while I was talking to him. At that point where he crushed the pint glass with his hand, he was a bit pissed off. That's why when it comes to a war on terror, something we invented, the war on terror, because Brits would never have a war on terrify, because what's not terrifying to Brits? Everything. They just don't show it, right? Brit, you've had giants plucking your daughters out of villages a couple thousand years ago. Look that one up, history boy. It's true. So the basic British reaction to anything terrifying is this. Pfft. How much is this going to cost? You can't really care. That's why I'm pretty sure the war, the whole terrorism thing, I think the terrorists have just kind of given up on Britain, because what can they possibly do, right? Listen, I would never compare the scopes of tragedy of, say, the World Trade Center to the bombs that blew up in London, but the reaction is completely different, right? America still has this entire culture of fear about terrorism. It's basically manifests itself by terror alerts being scrolled across the bottom of the TV screen by color. No explanation whatsoever. Just today's terror alert is orange. Now back to our show. What was that? What does that mean? Orange, that's hunting accidents, roadworks, right? That's not good. It means be very, very aware of terror. So dwell on it now and then. Whereas in Britain, they blow up the buses in London. Next day, people are back at the bus stop waiting for the bus, right? And complaining about it because they're Brits. Bus is late. I mean, it's late. The one yesterday blew up. Yeah, well, that was yesterday. Today's today. I live in the present, and the bus is late. That's why when you watch a Brit snap, right, you got to get really close to them. They'll pick a high street and just corkscrew for a while. That's... Not even knowing what direction to... What direction is corkscrew anyway? This is bullshit. And then you get too close, and then you get sucked into the vortex, right? Are you okay? That moment when a Brit truly snaps and it looks like this. I'm gonna write a letter. That's it. I've been pushed to the brink, you bastard. Nobody treats me like this, you son of a bitch. Huh? I'm not emailing this, I'm writing this. Wait till you get that tomorrow. Big red pillar box right in the mail. Postal strike.
I used to be not exactly ashamed of my blackness, but I never wanted to do anything that could be seen as stereotypically black, and it followed me all my life. So when I was younger, when I was at school, if I was ever in PE and a basketball would come flying at top speed towards my face, instead of catching that basketball in the air, dribbling it towards the nearest net and slam dunking the thing as I naturally would, I just let it hit me in the face and roll away. When I got older, I made a lot of friends, mainly white friends, and we started going to the club. Are you familiar with the club? Not the club, the club. At the end of the street. Whenever I went to the club and I was dancing with a group of friends, I would deliberately dance less well on purpose. So that the white people wouldn't be intimidated. There'd always be one other black person in the corner of the room, arms folded, looking at me like, you're disrespecting yourself. When meanwhile, I'll be in the middle of the dance floor just moving like Miley Cyrus. I tried so hard. I tried so hard to pass as white. I did all the white things. I bought pesto. I said tissue. And I got really dangerously into Jamie T. I am talking about the era of Jamie T, Pete Doherty, Jack Pignatti, Jedwish. I spent my late teens, arguably the sexiest part of one's teens, just sort of lusting over these gurning predators. Like, imagine with me, you'll be at a house party with an edgy white boy and he'd have the whole edgy boy starter kit. He'd have the skinny jeans, roly fag, unacceptable BO. He'd be talking always about one of his two favourite subjects, which is always either dubstep or himself. And you're sitting on the windowsill and finally you pluck up the courage to just cut him off mid-anecdote, put your hand on his shoulder, look him in the eye and be like, mate, I love you. And then he'd look at you, and you'd look at him, and you'd lean in for a kiss, and then he'd just sort of thumb MDMA into your mouth. And after that was it, you were like, wow! I think he really likes me. Oh my God, white guys, I spent half my life lusting after unsuitable white guys. Have we got any white guys in? Come on guys, cheer louder, we know how much you get paid. You are everywhere. You're in the White House.
You're in the big banks. You're in all the fancy court cases. You're killing it.
Sometimes literally.
But I don't want anyone to think I'm having a go because I genuinely adore white guys. Love your work. Ed Sheeran, amazing. I haven't got anything against white men apart from obviously everything it is that they've done. Some of my best friends. Some of my best friends are white men. My mother is a white man.
This is true, this. Does anyone know? I fail my test. Can anyone tell me what happens, right? If you're on your driving test and an animal ran out in front of the car, what are you supposed to do? Supposed to run it over. That's the right answer. They say anything else is a danger to other road users. I'm on my test. Everything's going great. Suddenly, this goat ran out in front of the car. So I remembered what he said, and I kept driving. A few seconds later, I look in my rearview mirror. The goat is fine. I've missed him by millimetres. Now, obviously, I didn't want to fail my test. So I slapped it in reverse like that. I must have been chasing that little fucker through that field for 45 minutes before I ran over his head, and he still failed me. Where's the justice in that? You actually look a bit like my driving instructor, madam. With those fantastic specs and that hair. You've gone for the old Eric Morecambe meets Demi Moore look, haven't you? That's fantastic. Actually, lend me those glasses for a second. Just, you do. What's your name, madam?
Lindell.
Lindell? Where are you from? Mordor? Lindell. My name is Lindell. Are you searching for a ring? That's Australian. Oh, fantastic. I'm not going to take the mickey out of the Australians. You're the same as us, aren't you? Different pronunciations, you know? You say yogurt, we say yogurt. You have prawns on the barbie, we have yogurt. You use KY jelly. It's yogurt, I'm not explaining them all. You say BYO, we say good guess. The question was, how do you spell boy? What do you do for a living? Are you a welder? It's true, actually. My driving instructor walked last night. This is why. This is the other reason she failed me as well. We're driving down the road. She said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to slap my hand on the dashboard. I want you to make an emergency stop as though a small child has stepped out in front of the car. Before he could put his belt on, or she, doesn't matter because I'm making it up, right? Before the person could put their belt on, right, I hit my brakes like, and he hit his head full on the window, like. Show it off now. Oh, bad job! Hey! Hey! When he turned around to me and said, why don't you wait till I slap my hand on the dashboard? I said, there's a child's life at stake here. I haven't got time to mess about with games, mate. Oh, sorry, you didn't see any of that, did you? No, you were just sat there, weren't you, going, what's he doing? What's that noise?
I was going to be a doctor. Got as far as A-level biology, and we had to cut open a rat. Remember that? We had to cut open a rat, and I discovered I couldn't stand the sight of blood or anything vaguely biological. Just had to switch it up. I was like, Mum, I had to tell my mum the doctor thing wasn't going to work out, but it was all right. I said, I'm going to be an engineer. And my mum was like, engineer? It is on the list? Okay. And then she turns to my younger brother. You will be the doctor! And that's how it ran in my family. She wasn't impressed when I decided to become a comedian. That conversation didn't go very well because I was an engineer. I worked as an engineer for years. I used to work for Otis repairing lifts. That's what I did. And my mum was proud. Yes, my daughter, she's an engineer. And then I left that and decided to become a comedian. My mum was not impressed. She's like, comedy, comedy. What the hell is comedy? What am I gonna tell my friends in Nigeria, eh? Eh? My daughter is a clown. But luckily for me, within 6 months of starting comedy, I got on this talent show called The Big, Big Talent Show, hosted by Jonathan Ross, got on this show. So I called my mum, I was like, Mama, I got through to this big talent show. It's gonna be on TV. I'm through to the quarterfinals. And my mum's like, oh yeah, that's good, very good, interesting, very good. Call me when you get to the final. I'm not interested in this quarterfinal, semi-final rubbish. For the final. So sure enough, I got through to the final, filmed live on television, live. Jonathan Ross is hosting, and my mum comes down with her entourage, because my mum does not travel without a Nigerian entourage. So I do my set, Jonathan Ross is interviewing me after my set, and he sees my mum in the audience, which was not hard to spot. It was literally white people, white people, white people, and then a bank of African royalty just... So Jonathan points to my mum and he goes, is that your mum? That Gina's mum is in the audience. And I swear to God, my mum stood up like this. Yes, that is right. I am the reason the clown is here. I am the reason. I always knew she was going to be a clown. When she was three, I bought her the big shoes. So my mum only comes out for the big shows. She only comes out for the big shows. And in fact, my mum is here tonight. Where's my mum? Where's my mum? Where's my mum over there? She's here. Where's my mum? Oh, look at her, standing up. Look at her, there she is. All right, you can sit down now, mum. You can sit down now, mum. This is my show, mum. It's my show. It's my show.
I have this voice all of the time. You may be thinking, oh, she's hard of hearing. That's why she has that voice. No. I want you to know, no, I don't. It has nothing to do with the hard of hearingness. It's just an extra. Just a kiss on my forehead from God himself. Just an extra. I live with, this is my all the time voice. This is my sex voice. This is my sex voice. It is, I have sex, I go, oh, I love that. I do. I go, oh, can you do that but slower? That's what I say. That's what I say, that during sex. I want you to know I do have sex. I want you to know that. I know if I say it, it makes it sound like I don't have sex, but I have sex. Okay, I have sex with people, and people have sex with me. And it's the truth. It's just what happens. I have sex. I just do. It took me a long time to get started having sex because I come from a Latin American mom. And my mom used to talk about my vagina every day, but only in metaphor. My mom, she'd say stuff like, she'd be like, Lara, Lara. Nobody wants to buy a lock that can be opened by every key. Lada. She'd be like, lada, lada. Nobody wants to buy an apple that's been bitten by someone else. Lada. She'd be like, lada, lada. If you give them sex too soon, they won't stay with you forever. Lada. That one's pretty straightforward. Not really a metaphor, that last one. Pretty straight to the point. That's kind of what she meant with the whole thing. It took me a long time to get started because of that. And I live in the Netherlands. 6 years now I live there. It's great. It's good. I live now with my partner, an Argentinian guy, Fernando. Okay. we live together. I love him. I brought him over, actually, from Argentina. We met in Argentina, and then I brought him over to live in the Netherlands on my back, me, him, and a donkey. It took 3 days and 3 nights. Long and arduous, but we made it. Now we live together there. It's good. I love him. He has no sense of smell. What a good disability to have in a partner, if I may. I mean, the best disability to have in a partner. Because as a partner, you can be nasty. You can. You can be as nasty as you want all of the time. Of course, not good to be nasty because then you have to live in the nasty as well. And that part you forget about. You forget. Sometimes I'm like, ooh, I can fart while I eat. But then you have to eat in a fart, and no one wants, like, if you can choose to not eat in a fart, maybe better to just eat in clean air. You might be thinking, oh, but Lara, what about the sound, you deaf-ass bitch? Don't call me that. It offends my family. I actually will have you know, if you must, that my farts do not have sound. They don't. It's not a tree fell in the forest situation. I can't hear them. Joke's on me. Ha ha. No. My farts actually do not have any sound. They do not have any sound because I have what's called a butt cheek gap. You know about this? A BCG for short. It means my arse cheeks don't touch. They just don't touch each other. I have a gap. A gap between my... And we all know, famously, most of the sound from farts come from the stress of the air trying to get through the cheeks. You know about this. I Googled it, it's the truth. If the air is trying to get through, this is my impression of most people's farts. And this is my impression of my farts. Straight out because I have a butt cheek gap, which means I can fart while I eat if I want to. I don't, but I want you to know that I can.
I was such a fat kid. My mother used to buy bathing suits with blowholes in them. It was just... But my parents... I don't want to go into my childhood here because it's wrong. My parents hated me, okay? We're all going to hear the story, aren't we? My parents hated me too. My parents, all I ever heard growing up is, why can't you be like your cousin Sheila? Why can't you be like your cousin Sheila? Sheila had died at birth. They just hated me. They, whenever we go like in front of a street, each parent would take my hand, hold our hand, we're crossing the street, and then they'd swing me into the traffic. They used to say, take candy from strangers. Ask the funny man in the raincoat, does he own a van? It is just... No, I had a very bad childhood, and that's because, and I'm sure none of you give a damn, but I was the only Jewish kid, this is the absolute truth, growing up in an all-Catholic neighborhood. You know what that's? The Irish people. Only Jewish kid in a Catholic neighborhood. You know what that's like? You were all doing Hail Marys, I was doing Hail Murrays. I mean, it was just... No Christmas tree? No Christmas tree. Do you know what that's like when you're the only kid without a Christmas tree? Because everybody has Christmas trees. And nowadays, it's like, well, we do it for all faiths. That's such bullshit. Yeah, we walk into an office building, and there's a Christmas tree, and there's a menorah. Bullshit. The Christmas tree goes up, 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 up. There's like a little shitty menorah with two orange lights and some angry Puerto Ricans lit backwards. I mean, yes. Juan, you lit those lights backwards. Fuck you, you killed our Lord. I mean, it is just... So, I'm at the age where I figure, screw it, I'm gonna have a Christmas tree. I got the biggest Christmas tree in... I got a two-story high Christmas tree. I put everything you could think of on that... Up, 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 gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. On the bottom, I got the manger. I got the whole goddamn thing going there. The wise men, the sheep. The only thing is, I have the baby, but I'm Jewish. I got him a nanny. It was just... Oh, yes. And I redressed Mary. She didn't look good. That stupid thing over her head. Come on. I put her in a Chanel suit, Manolo Blahnik, and a Louis Vuitton pocketbook. You're the mother of God. Look it. It is just... Am I wrong? If she had looked like that, she would have gotten into the inn. Yes. The point is, it's about looks. Mary, she looked good. She would have done better. Mother Teresa... Oh, don't give me, oh, Mother Teresa, if she had looked better, she'd be a saint by now. Was she a bow wow? Yes, did she need electrolysis? Let's talk to each other here. Even lepers were throwing their fingers at her. Here, get out of here. because it is all about looks. This is my message, Great Britain. This is my message. Looks count. Education, looks count. I have no sex appeal, and it has screwed me up for life. Peeping Toms look in my window, pull down the shade. You have no idea. My gynecologist examines me by telephone. It is just...